On today's episode of The Front Row, we are downtown in the Lubbock Cultural District at the offices of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra. And our special guests on the show are David Cho, music director and conductor of the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, and Adam Golka, who is the special guest soloist with the LSO coming up Saturday, that's tomorrow night, in concert in the Helen DeWitt Jones Theater at the Buddy Holly Hall. Welcome to you both. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. David, let me begin with you. Tell us a little bit about the program that we'll hear tomorrow night in the hall that features the orchestra and Adam.
Tomorrow night's program is titled Brahms and Tchaikovsky. We're pairing Brahms's brooding piano concerto in D minor. Adam Golka has been a regular guest artist here in our community, and he's beloved by our patrons and our orchestra, and he recently came from recording the oeuvre of Brahms solo piano music. So his mind coincidentally happened to be in the world of Brahms. So we're so lucky to have his artistry shared with the Lubbock Symphony to produce this incredible piano concerto. And we're pairing the piano concerto with symphony in D major by Tchaikovsky. It's the only happy key symphony Tchaikovsky wrote. And it's titled Polish because of the dance rhythm introduced in the final fifth movement of the symphony. It's I thought it was a wonderful pairing because of the D minor to D major, of course, but the musicians of the Lubbock Symphony have been asking me, when are we going to play this symphony? So I thought this was a great opportunity. Adam is of the Polish heritage, and I thought coincidentally it was a good a match. And I've been wanting to share with our community how Tchaikovsky wrote his first piano concerto to a very almost humiliating public criticism by his boss at the conservatory. And because the form was so fantasy-like and a little bit loose in terms of bookends. And as a result, he was sort of drawn to a perfect symmetrical form. And if you think about the five movement, it's 1-2-3 and 4-5. It's a perfect balance, symmetry, and the form is just near perfect, and it's full of folklore, almost like a fairy tale inner movements. You could almost hear the Nutcracker and Swan Lake, and all the brilliant and beautiful aspects of Tchaikovsky's music that is forthcoming. So I'll stop at that. I think it's a beautiful combination of Brahms and Tchaikovsky.
Right. Well, I'm so glad you talked about Tchaikovsky in those terms, because a lot of folks would recognize the Fourth Symphony with its big statement at the beginning. The Fifth Symphony has the horn solo, and the Pathetique Symphony has very familiar tunes. But the first three Tchaikovsky symphonies are wonderful as well, and you're going to play number three. That's such wonderful programming, so thank you for that.
Oh, of course. I've done the Little Russian, which is number two here in Lubbock, and I've done the Winter Daydreams, which is one of my favorites. It's the first symphony, and this is actually my first go at it with the Polish symphony, so I'm very, very excited.
So you will have done all of them. That's wonderful.
Except for the Manfred. That's the unnumbered symphony. But sometime in the future, when I'm more, hopefully more mature and more knowledgeable, then I can attempt.
Well, and you just did Francesco da Rimini. So you're making your way through Tchaikovsky,
yes,
right?
Yes, and Brahms too. All of the Brahms symphonies and concertos except the second piano concerto, so I hope to do that sometime.
So, and you say the third symphony is very balletic as well. You mentioned Swan Lake, Sleeping Beauty, so there's aspects of ballet in the symphony as well, do you think?
Yes, the inner movement is fairy tale like, and it's very light, and you can almost dance to it. The entire symphony is dance like, and the fifth movement is just outright Tempo di Polacca. Yeah, so Polonaise, Polish dance-like. So it's full of dances, and naturally it's balletic.
Right. So. Oh, wonderful. The Tchaikovsky Third Symphony, the Polish Symphony, on the program tomorrow night, the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra performing at the Helen DeWitt Jones Theater in the Buddy Holly Hall. And the special guest is Adam Golka. Adam, welcome back to Lubbock. It's so great to see you. And lots of folks will know that you have quite a history with the Lubbock Symphony, both as a performer and familial as well. So welcome home in a way.
Thank you. It does feel like being welcomed home. I really feel so happy every time I'm in Lubbock, and by now feel like I have good friends here. Of course, Maestro David, but also many musicians in the orchestra. So yeah, I just can't wait to get to work tonight as our first rehearsal. And Brahms D minor piano concerto is probably my favorite piece ever. So it's all the stars are lining up.
Well, you know, in the pianistic world, the Brahms D minor concerto is known as like a real knuckle buster. And it's got these huge trills in the opening, big, massive chordal things that have to be done. It's a big play, right?
Oh, huge. And I think also emotionally, it's such an unusual piece in the piano concerto literature, because it's, even though it's recognized as technically one of the most difficult piano concertos, Brahms almost makes a point of not dwelling on the show-off aspect of the piano concerto as a form. The piano is a vehicle that, first of all, is really kind of playing an equal role with the orchestra. The sense of exchange is very profound and important in this piece. It's not just piano accompanied by orchestra, not by any means.
Not like Chopin.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Very, very different than Chopin piano concertos. But also, I think emotionally, he is expressing something so monumental and oftentimes dark in this piece, but also hopeful. But it's a piece where the emotional gravity and the emotional communication is really the thing behind all the difficulties of the piece. So it's never a vehicle to show off. It's a vehicle to express, which is part of what makes it very challenging, because you have to just pour your whole soul into it every time you play it. And it takes a lot out of the performer.
Yeah. How many movements?
It's only three movements, but the first movement is probably the longest first movement of any piano concerto. It's well over 20 minutes, and it's gargantuan in every way. I mean, when it starts, it's really like almost the earth opens up and would swallow you whole. I mean, it's overwhelming in scope. And even the second movement, the slow movement, is it's almost like a movement from a requiem or mass, and it really takes its time as well. So very unusual for a piano concerto, where it's almost feels like a symphony and a choral work and a benediction and so many different things all in one piece.
Wow, what a great description. That's really, really fantastic. And I completely agree with you. The opening really sets the tone for the work. It's mm-hmm. it's dark, it's big, it's emotional. It's really quite something from the very outset.
Yes, and I think that there's an interesting history of what maybe created that drama and that outburst in the beginning of the piece. It was a very dramatic time in Brahms' life, and also a very exciting time in his life, because this piano concerto was sketched soon after Brahms met Robert and Clara Schumann for the first time. And as you may know, that meeting was so important in music history, because Brahms was just a young guy. He was 19 years old when he knocked on their door in Dusseldorf, and they almost immediately recognized that he was one of the greatest geniuses in music, and they were totally right about that. And so he went from being basically an unknown kid who had written a few pieces to being publicly described by Robert Schumann as the Messiah of music. So he had to live up to this impossible task of being this celebrity in Europe at a very young age, and putting enormous pressure on himself. The first piano concerto was, in a way, I think, also an attempt to write a first symphony, which he was scared to do because of being compared to Beethoven, and he put that off for some time after. Yeah, so this piano concerto, when it starts, you really think, well, this is a symphony. I mean, the piano hardly comes in for the first 5 minutes, and it's really feels like this enormous piece in and of itself. And a second aspect of the drama of it is that the connection to Clara Schumann and Robert Schumann is so central to the narrative of this piece, I think, because first of all, the young Brahms fell in love with Clara Schumann and was sort of hopelessly at the whim of those emotions in his life and struggling with the fact that Clara Schumann was Robert Schumann's wife. And on top of that, Robert Schumann was struggling with visions and hallucinations and eventually diagnosed with schizophrenia. He attempted suicide by jumping in the Rhine River, and that really affected the whole Schumann household, obviously, and Brahms. And Robert Schumann ended up being institutionalized. And Brahms was the one who actually visited him and brought reports back to Clara. The doctors didn't let Clara visit her husband. So I think this piece is really kind of coming from that huge drama of those passionate feelings towards Clara, of Robert Schumann's attempt at suicide by jumping into the Rhine River. You could almost hear that in this music.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You took the words out of my mouth. Yeah. All the drama seems to be in this music. And there was drama, as you just said. Absolutely. Yeah. So I assume at the end of the piece, you're probably really wrung out, physically, emotionally, in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah, but the end of the piece, in a way, I mean, the way the excitement builds towards the end and it builds this absolute euphoria. It's one of the most exciting endings and optimistic endings that somehow, you know, I almost can't sleep after I play it because it's such just a rocket of joy at the end.
Yeah. Great. Well, we can't wait to hear you play it. So exciting. Tomorrow night in the Helen DeWitt Jones Theater at the Buddy Holly Hall, the Lubbock Symphony Orchestra, music by Brahms and Tchaikovsky. And the Brahms is the first of the two piano concertos played by our guest, Adam Golka. Now, David Cho mentioned that you were in a big project. You're recording all of the Brahms piano works. Is that correct? Did I hear that right?
At the moment, I'm recording all of the early Brahms piano works, but my hope is that that will also include the later works, hopefully by Brahms's 200th anniversary. That's my little personal goal, which is in 2033. So I'm working towards recording it all by then. But I've just in Germany actually recorded some of the early pieces, which are very connected to the piano concerto, and that's the four ballades, the D minor piano sonata. So please stay tuned for that. Sorry, the F minor piano sonata, I meant to say. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, there's so much. There's the Opus 39 waltzes.
Yeah.
At the end, there's the intermezzi and the rhapsodies.
That's coming.
Oh, my
that's
gosh.
Coming.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I just love playing Brahms so much that, yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's music that goes right to the heart. Every note he ever wrote goes right to the heart, so I love to play it.
Do you like the chamber music as well? The clarinet sonatas, the violin sonatas, cello sonatas, piano quintet? Like those?
Oh yes, those that are a regular part of my performing repertoire, all of the chamber music, and I play it with great passion, yeah.
All right. Well, how exciting. We're so happy that you're here, and best of luck tomorrow night.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
David, we've been talking about how this is a real collaborative effort with the pianist and the orchestra. It's a real symbiotic thing. So what's it like to conduct a big concerto like this, where you're not just an accompaniment, but you're an integral part of the music making?
It's truly unique because I was brought up as a pianist and I grew up with these concerti, listening to them and admiring all the soloists that I enjoyed viewing through laser discs back then. And it's truly unique because I get to immerse myself in the sound of the orchestra, which I learned as a young child from the piano. So this relationship with the orchestra and piano, and Brahms being a pianist, it some sections actually make sense why he was doing what he did, and I could empathize with that. So I hope we can, through this collaboration, bring to our community a rendering that is respectable, and I hope to grow as a musician.
Yeah.
And hope to do this piece many, many more times.
You know, I think just in terms of the orchestral contribution to the concerto, I think of many individual things like the solo horn. in the first movement. That's a wonderful moment.
It sure
and,
is.
And many things like that. So I'm sure the orchestra will enjoy playing it, right?
They play great. And I'm so happy with the Lubbock Symphony and our many soloists within the orchestra. And they're going to invest their whole heart into the concert. The concert information, again, is Saturday. At 7:30, there's a pre-concert lecture called The Cleft Notes at 6:30 by John Clare, and I welcome everyone. It's a free event. For those of you who haven't purchased tickets, please go online at lubbocksymphony.org/Brahms, so B-R-A-H-M-S, and it'll lead you to the ticket purchase page. And those of you who are students, we have student rush tickets. They are available right now. It's day before, and you can come to the box office at the Lubbock Symphony. So it's only $10. And if you don't get to come to the office, please go 1 hour before the concert at the Buddy Holly Hall box office. Again, 1 hour before the show, tickets available for $10.
Excellent. Great. And all of that at lubbocksymphony.org. That's the place to go to find out all of this information. Is that right?
Yes.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, best of luck to you both of you, for the great concert that's coming our way tomorrow night. Lubbock Symphony Orchestra in Concert, a program of Tchaikovsky and Brahms. Adam Golka, David Cho, thank you so much for being our guests on the Front Row today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.